ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're lucky to be sitting in Vrindavan Dham and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the best place for a person in the material world. We're on Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 83. Etad Adhyatma Paroksham Gitam Devarshi Anagha Ya Shravaid Ya Shunuyat Sa Lingena Vimuchate Eta Dadyatma Paroksham Gitam Devarshi Anagha Yashravayet Yashnuyat Salingena Vimuchate Eta Dadyatma Parokshan Gitam Devarshi Anagha Yashravayet Yashnuyat Salinghena Vimuchate. Etat, this Adhyatma, spiritual, Paroksham, authorized description, Gitam, narrated, Deva Rishina, by the great sage Narad, Anagha, O spotless Vidura, Yah, anyone who, Shravayet, may describe, Yah, anyone who, Shunuyat, may hear, Saha, he, Lingena, from the bodily concept of life, Vimuchate, becomes delivered. Translation, my dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, as described by the great sage Narad, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, as described by the great sage Narad, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This material creation is the spirit soul's dream. Actually, all existence in the material world is a dream of Mahavishnu, as the Brahma Sanhita describes. Yakaranana vajale bhajatisma yoga nidramananta jagadanda saromakupa. This material world is created by the dreaming of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is the spiritual world. But When the spirit soul wants to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is put into this dreamland of material creation. After being in contact with the material modes of nature, the living entity develops the subtle and gross bodies. When the living entity is fortunate enough to associate with Sri Narad Mahamuni or his servants, he is liberated from this dreamland of material creation and the bodily conception of life. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So it's been a long chapter, 82 verses so far, of the talks between Narad and King Prachina Barhi. And here a summation is given that the living entity has his spiritual nature, and when he's in the realm of the three modes of material nature, he goes into his dreamlike state of forgetfulness of the self and thinks he is the enjoyer in the material world. This is so heavy a concept. I remember in 1970 when we first heard the Maha Mantra and then we first started visiting the temple. I remember the moment, actually, I was walking on the land where we were living, and it suddenly struck me that, oh my goodness, I'm the eternal soul. I have nothing to do with this whole phenomena. We practiced some different types of yoga and came to Krishna consciousness, especially because we're suffering so much in the material world. Great people come to Srila Prabhupada out of their knowledge. I'm coming because I'm suffering like anything. And then when you understand the philosophy that you are the eternal self, you're living within the body, but you have nothing to do with it. You're only witnessing what's going on with the body. This is called moksha, or liberation. I remember just that moment, just in the first few months of practicing the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And hearing Bhagavad Gita from Srila Prabhupada, I had an experience of liberation or moksha. This is a tangible thing that by hearing this philosophy from the self-realized soul, the word here is paroksham, same as parampara. By hearing from the parampara, not from the other sources that I was listening to before Krishna consciousness. Timothy Leary was one of my gurus for a while. Then we started to hear about India and Swami Rama or Chinmayananda or this person. Only when we really heard from Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada could we even come to this simple understanding of the Atma, the self, being conditioned within the material world. So that was 43 years ago. Only? Jai Panchagoda Prabhu, Hare Krishna. But that experience was very tangible. And any devotee, as soon as you say the name Krishna, you should immediately feel there's something spiritual. Now I'm aloof from matter. Now I've transcended my misery. Krishna's name, his deity, his book, immediately puts you on a transcendental platform. And you remember, oh, self-realization, God, my eternal Atma, joy beyond the suffering of the three modes of material nature. Sometimes devotees, according to their previous practice, immediately experience this. Like the first time I heard the Maha Mantra, I was a late 60s young man in America. You know what that means? Or you're not old enough to understand being a teenager in America in the 1960s. It conditions you, as you know. According to your birth, you get conditioned by a certain position. Anyway, hitchhiking around America as a teenager, looking for something more than what American society and my parents provided for me, I stumbled onto a poetry reciting by one famous poet. His name was Allen Ginsberg. He was a beatnik from the 60s, but he's a famous man. And he came to hear Srila Prabhupada in 26th Avenue, the first temple in America. He came to hear Prabhupada, and he became a serious chanter of the Maha Mantra. So I was wandering around the material universe in America. We call it Patal Desh, the hellish place. Many of you are born here in the Divyasthan, the divine place of India, where this is second nature to you. But when Allen Ginsberg was reading his various poetry to the 500 people, says, "All right, let's take a break. Let's have a kirtan." And what's kirtan? I had no idea. So he brings us this strange little hand organ out, and he starts singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he is American born, big drug taker like most of us, but he heard the Maha Mantra from Srila Prabhupada. And he was chanting it wherever he went. Ohio State University, he was a big professor in the Greenwich Village of New York. I saw him in New Mexico, Santa Fe. And immediately by chanting that Maha Mantra for just 15 minutes, I experienced a different state of consciousness. And this is what we were looking for in America, using marijuana, using LSD, going to different gurus, going to different philosophy. But immediately by hearing the Maha Mantra, which was recited by someone who heard it from Srila Prabhupada, it had an immediate liberating effect on me. Lingena is the word used in this shloka. At that time, I was having a physical problem, an itching sensation, skin problem. And I thought, oh, I forgot about it for this 20 minutes while I'm chanting the Maha Mantra. This is what the verse is saying, right? Liberated from the bodily concept of life. So later on, when I got to my home destination, I found out there's actually a religion associated with this Maha Mantra. A group of people who are devoted to spiritual life. And then my wife and I started going to the temple of the Maha Mantra, ISKCON, in Philadelphia, 1970. And finally, we started doing 16 rounds a day of japa, and joined the movement in the summer of 1971 in Berkeley, California, when we went out to the Rath Yatra Festival. So everyone should and can have this experience of immediate transcendence from the suffering of the bodily concept of life. Srila Prabhupada's potency is there in this society and amongst those who are reverent to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, because the word is given in here, paroktam, paroksham, through the parampara, from the superior authority. And in Srila Prabhupada's translation, it's also said, anyone who hears the narration as described by the great sage Narada, and in the purport Srila Prabhupada says, who is fortunate enough to associate with Sri Narad Mahamuni or his servants is liberated. So there are two things. One is the right sound vibration, and another is hearing that sound vibration from the right source, the paroksham. Para, you know that word from Bhagavad Gita. Who knows a verse from Bhagavad Gita where that word para is used? Prakritim vidhi me param, jiva bhuta. First is the first verse. Who knows? Earth, water, fire, air, sky. Bhumirapo analovayu kammano buddhirevacha. Ahankara itiyame bina prakritir ashtada. So the first verse describes the whole material creation. There's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intellect, and ahankara. Everything you see in the universe, whether we go to hell or whether we stay here in the middle planet or whether we go to the heavenly planets, and everything we're witnessing externally with the eyes, we're tasting with the tongue, we're hearing with the ears, this is a manifestation of these energies. And aparaya mitastvam yam prakritim vidhi me param. The superior energy is the jiva bhuta mahabaho. So this paroksham is described here. You can stay in the material realm of matter in the three modes of material nature with sense enjoyment, even with religion or philosophy, we can stay within the three modes of material nature. We see it. In America, you see it in India also, right? Spiritual teachings, but it's still on the material platform. But if you hear from the parampara, you hear the paroksham, the superior sound, you hear it from the liberated source like Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada, his servant. Or you hear it from a servant of Srila Prabhupada. I heard that transcendental Maha Mantra from someone who listened to Srila Prabhupada and repeated it in his own way. Granted, the strict follower of Srila Prabhupada is superior to the casual hearer or the casual reciter, but either way, that is divine or transcendental energy. Srila Prabhupada used to say, you see this little girl, 3-year-old, 4-year-old Saraswati, she's not divinely illuminated, but she would go out and preach to people. Have you heard of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this lady. No. Oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada would say, her preaching is perfect. So, the divine experience that all yogis or all philosophers or all religious people are seeking is described here. Hear it from the authority. One of my favorite verses from Bhagavad Gita, my favorite verse, but I have to check that I have the right chapter and verse, but I believe it's 7:26. No, it is 13:26. Who knows 13:26 Bhagavad Gita? Anye tu evam ajananta śrutvānyebhi upāsate tepi chāti taranti eva mrityam śruti parayana. Again, there are others who, although not conversant in spiritual things, because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also, mrityam śruti parayana, mrityam, they conquer the path of birth and death. Shruti parayana, by hearing from the para, ayanam, to lay down, to rest, to be situated in, para, parayanam. Those that are situated or resting in the superior energy. The translation of that verse is, again there are those who, although not conversant with spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. You remember this verse now? And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments, this verse is particularly applicable to modern society. If you were with Srila Prabhupada, all day long Srila Prabhupada would be connected with this divine literature. If you happen to be not sleeping, 1 o'clock in the morning, you would see Prabhupada's light on. He's translating the Vedic literature. Six o'clock in the morning, he goes on his morning walk. All throughout the morning walk, he's quoting from Vedic literature. Then 7 o'clock, he sees the deity and he's reading and lecturing on Vedic literature. Then guests would come and he would quote, remember when he would say, find that verse. You've heard that tape so many times where Prabhupada says that. And he would bring the Bhagavad Gita and quote from Bhagavad Gita if he didn't immediately remember. Usually he remembered the whole shloka. He was just giving us a chance to engage in his service by find that book. Prabhupada knew it. But all day long he was hearing from the Shastra and reciting from the Shastra. What is the word here? Yashravayad Yashrinuyat. Who is hearing and reciting. All day long Prabhupada was doing this from the Shastra. Everything he said, he realized personally. He's seeing Krishna eye to eye, and yet he quotes from the Shastra to give the authority of his movement, his preaching. So this verse 13:26 of Bhagavad Gita is very important. When we joined the society in 1971, We would go out on the street on Harinam Sankirtan 6 hours a day. Nowadays, in big cities, people sometimes ask us, oh, where are you people? You're not coming out for Harinam like you used to. They would be disturbed by us because we were there so much. Where I joined in Berkeley, we would sit and do Harinam in Sproul Plaza. It's the entrance to the University of California at Berkeley. And all the students would have to go through that entrance to go to their class. And they would be hearing Maha Mantra 5-6 hours a day. Sometimes they would put their heads down and start walking very quickly to get away from the sound vibration of the devotees. Sometimes some people would stop and stand a little. They were very attracted to the Maha Mantra, but they didn't want their friends or their student associates to see that they were attracted to the Maha Mantra. So we would be chanting here, and they would be standing over there a good distance away, but we knew they're listening, they're attracted. And sometimes at night, after 6 hours of kirtan, Jayananda, our temple president, would say, well, let's go back to the plaza at night. And we would bring guitars and drums and flutes. And the non-students, the hippies on the street, they would have the chance to sit down with us and do bhajan. This was such a wonderful experience. Then around 1974, 75, the focus of the movement or the full daytime activity of the movement changed to book distribution. You remember that time? You were in New York?
Miami.
Tell us what it was like when that shifted.
At that time, we had many devotees in the airports, and Radha Damodar traveling from city to city. I remember I told the story how Dharma Prana Prabhu and Karna Karna, his wife, they came down to Miami and gave a Sankirtan class and how to do this book distribution. I recorded it, and we rehearsed it, and that way, every day we'd go out, generally from 10 till 6, and on the weekends, sometimes 12 hours. And during Christmas, marathon is every day 12 hours. And sometimes you do, you try to get to 50 big books, 100 big books in the airport. And the Sankirtan newsletter came out, exciting all the devotees for competing. And Srila Prabhupada became very enlivened by the book distribution. And so all the devotees were charged like that.
That was a big change in the Hare Krishna movement, at least in America. In the mid-70s, when the focus started to be on distributing this literature. And this verse I just quoted, 13:26, Shrutvan Yebhyo Upasate, that we would read it to each other because it says that there are others, even if they don't know about spiritual life, they begin to worship God by hearing from the authority. If you were wearing dhoti and tilak and shaved head in America, and you were going door to door and you were knocking on doors or you were approaching people in the street, 98% of the people would want nothing to do with you. But there are others, this verse says, who begin to worship God by hearing from authorities. There are so many Sankirtan stories that we could have a marathon of Sankirtan stories, but my wife is here. We were all going door-to-door book distribution in Berkeley, California. So I remember sometime some person would open the door, and she would look at me, and she would scream and slam the door in my face. You know? One time there was one lady who looked at me and said, "This is strange." She said, "Please come in." And she lays down on her couch and she pulls up her dress and says, "Oh, this would be nice to have a relationship with a different type of man." You never knew what you were going to see when you go out to the public. Sometimes people would be drinking. People would be offering you marijuana. People would be big professors and they would start arguing with you. "Oh, do you know what this Bhagavad Gita says?" But for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure, because as Panchagoda said, he was so enlivened by hearing that so many books were being distributed to people who had no information of Krishna, we would take these steps. Go to crazy places. Toshan Krishna was at my house. We were doing a Prabhupada night. And he was telling his story of when he went to the Woodstock Festival, 1969, New York. A milestone event in my material life. And now I heard that, oh, there were devotees there. They went on stage and they were chanting the Maha Mantra. And because in those days, he would sing the Maha Mantra and there were two devotees with him on stage at Woodstock that would repeat the Maha Mantra. So he didn't know if any of the 500,000 people in the audience who came to hear rock music were reciting the Maha Mantra after him. But then one demon came on, heard the devotees chanting, and turned the microphone off. So at that time, Tosan and the devotees would chant the Maha Mantra, and then they would hear, because all you could hear was yourself chanting. They would hear thousands of people reciting the Maha Mantra after them. And then when we would go to all these crazy places and meet people and sell them a book, later on we saw all these people coming to the society because they read Srila Prabhupada's book and they became a devotee. There's so many stories, but for Srila Prabhupada, we would do anything. Big book distributors would wear wigs and go into the airport with karmi clothes on. But at the end of the day, if 100 people have Prabhupada's Bhagavatam or Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada considered it worthwhile. And it is the same process. If Narad Muni is sitting with a great king of the Vedic age, King Prachina Barishad, and reciting spiritual knowledge, or if you, at Bhakta, such and such, or newly initiated, are bringing Bhagavad Gita to a person who's never heard of Krishna, it is the same divine message being passed on. These are some of the most exciting experiences of our life, isn't it, when we distribute books? One experience we had, one of the greatest kirtans of my whole life I've ever been at. October 1970, we were young rebellious youth in the peace movement. We went to Washington, D.C. for a peace rally. And President Nixon at that time decided to throw everyone in jail on that day. No more protests. He was so tired of it all. So, Vietnam War protests. So, At that time, we had heard the Maha Mantra, and we were going to the temple and going out on chanting with the devotees. So we leave the temple on Q Street in Washington, D.C., and we go out chanting the Maha Mantra on the streets, and immediately the police come and arrest us all and throw us in jail. There was something like 100,000 people thrown into jail. So everybody's in jail, and one devotee starts doing kirtan. And very soon, within a few minutes, the whole jail is roaring with the Maha Mantra. Whether they were protesting being jailed, or whether they wanted to transcend their suffering situation, or whether they wanted to stop the Vietnam War by their roaring kirtan in one prison in Washington, D.C., who knows? But it was such an ecstatic kirtan. I'll never forget it. And a few minutes after the kirtan ended, they opened the doors and let us all out, and everybody was very grateful to the Hare Krishna people. Lingena, the word is used, the bodily concept of life. You know the term of linga, those that are Hindi, they know it usually used in the sense of procreation, the male organ, the linga of Lord Shiva. Here it is used as the bodily concept of life. Perhaps because that is the strongest attachment to the bodily concept of life that a yogi has to transcend or overcome, the pleasure of sex life. Yeah. But it is very easy to overcome that attraction if you're constantly hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, or as Srila Prabhupada is doing, constantly chanting, constantly remembering Krishna, and constantly talking about the Vedic literature and the divine knowledge and referring to it. If we're suffering from that disease of lust, or trying to enjoy the material body, the conclusion is you're not hearing and chanting enough, or you're not hearing or chanting seriously enough with focus. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta paramam purush. You know that verse from Bhagavatam? Apply it with force, tivrena, like the rays of the sun. Here in India, you have that experience of how forceful the sun can be. You cannot even tolerate his rays. So you have to apply bhakti yoga that forcefully, especially if you're feeling the influence of the linga, the bodily concept of life. We don't use Krishna consciousness to try and exacerbate or accelerate our bodily concept of life. Oh Lord, give me more wives, give me more money, give me relief from my material disease, give me a higher status in ISKCON. This is not the process of bhakti. This is mixed, at best, bhakti, where you're yajeta purusham param, you're worshiping the Supreme Person, but at the same time, you're trying to have your individual desires fulfilled. That does not liberate you. That way, it's said in the Shastra, you can chant life after life after life after life after life unlimitedly if you want to engage the Holy Name or Lord Krishna in satisfying your desires. If you want actual moksha, hear from Narad Muni, hear from Srila Prabhupada, his servant. Carry out the instructions that you hear from him, and the material energy will never come to bother you. I remember one time in Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles, upstairs, up those steps, where he lived, with his deities, with that beautiful Kartamashan, with all the scriptures that he would refer to, copies of Sridhar Swami, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. I remember one time he was sitting behind his desk and the devotees were associating with him. There's one line, I don't know the Sanskrit, perhaps someone hears it. Mukti. That's a nice verse. That's not the line I was thinking of. Mukulitanjali, something like that. Anyway, yes, he quoted that line and he says, I don't need to search out Mukti. Mukti Devi herself comes and serves me. That was so sweet. We don't have to ask Krishna for anything. Mukti Kami, what is that line? Sarva Siddhi Hoy. No, not Sarva Siddhi. Mukti Bukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashant. Everybody is unhappy, unpeaceful because they're seeking these things. When you have pure Krishna Bhakti, Mukti herself comes and what would you like, my dear sir? How can I serve you? Everything you want is automatically achieved by pure Krishna consciousness. On the other side, if you want to act in the world of ahankara, your false ego tells you, no, why should we serve Krishna? Why should Prabhupada and Krishna be the enjoyer of our lives? I want to be the enjoyer. This is the false ego. There's a dividing line, the Vaitarani River, you know, between the material and spiritual world. This is the one point we have to face. Do I want to be the enjoyer or do I want Krishna to enjoy the results of my activities? Am I doing this for the pleasure of Prabhupada and Krishna or do I want something out of it? That is the dividing line of ahankara. It's just, you can, like Prabhupada says, you can do it in 1 second. It's a matter of simply understanding and accepting the fact. You cannot enjoy independent of God. He is the enjoyer. Not Ishwara Aham Aham Bogi. Krishna's the Ishwara and he's the enjoyer. If we accept and surrender to that fact, immediately liberation. You all have some tangible experience of that. How Krishna consciousness gives you that feeling of bliss, of liberation from your suffering. So, let's try to do that. Give up the ahankara by hearing from the authority, from the paroksham, the parampara, and transcend the trying to enjoy the three modes of material nature. What is there to enjoy in the three modes of material nature? People are enjoying ignorance. What kind of pleasure? You see them drunk on the street, or you see the youth of America injecting heroin by the millions. You see people doing speed drugs. America is being ruined by this tamas guna, the tamaguna. You don't know. We don't know because we're devotees how serious the infection of tamaguna is affecting everybody. Millions of people are seriously addicted to alcohol and drugs and they're suicidal. I mean, The same situation is there as in 1965, 1969, when Prabhupada came. He liberated many millions of us through the Maha Mantra. Many millions more have come to suffer and try and enjoy the modes of material nature. What is the enjoyment of tamagun? We see the effect of it. What is the enjoyment of rajagun? What pleasure do we get out of rajas? Some intense, temporary thing. You know? Now you're an old body like me. When I first came, I was 22, 23 years old. 20 years old, joining Srila Prabhupada, mixed with my rajas. You know? I had the experience, wow, there's something transcendentally divine, but I'm not giving up my rajas. And now you're 62, your body may die at any second, and you see, what did I get out of that sex enjoyment, that making of money, or this, or should we pursue that rajas? Yes, there's some taste there. When you get older like me, you see the, oh, it's useless. It's fruitless. The pleasure you get is nothing. What is the pleasure of the sattva-gun? Being a university professor, being a man of knowledge, being a reputed philosopher. In the Gita, you've read, life after life you can continue that syndrome. Do we have any experience of these modes of nature, particularly being a devotee, that it's really satisfying to us, Pancha?
We keep trying.
Yeah. Well, this is the process for if you want to be out of that suffering, that temporary experience of happiness and distress. The process is to hear from the authority and to be liberated, to get to the higher platform. Practice it constantly. Otherwise, the modes of material nature will attack us. If we're not thinking of self-realization as we practice our bhakti, then our bhakti becomes tainted with the modes of material nature. We should always be thinking. I remind myself of this at least once a week. How much I've been thinking, I am the Atma inside the body. I'm simply witnessing everything going on. I should be offering it to Krishna. If you're not thinking in the realm of self-realization, then the desire to be the enjoyer of the fruits of your work, even the fruits of your bhakti, done in material consciousness, attacks you. Doesn't it? Haven't we seen ourselves, we fall down sometimes, we've seen our God brothers and God sisters fall down or leave. Everybody struggles with these modes of material nature. Unless we're executing bhakti from the transcendental platform, we are still under their attack. And she will come and try and grab us with her tamas, with her passion, with her sattva-gun. So here is the formula and the conclusion of this long chapter of Narad's instructions. Hear from the para, the person who's situated in the para prakriti, and repeat it to other people. Hear and chant the holy name, the Vedic literature, the instructions of Prabhupada. If you're not a preacher, repeat it to your own mind, my dear mind. The name of Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. That platform is really pure, is real happiness, is really eternal. Remind ourselves constantly to practice bhakti by hearing and reciting to others without any tinge of the modes of material nature. Paroksham.
the higher platform of bhakti. That's the conclusion of this chapter. There's one more verse in this chapter, and tomorrow we'll hear from a good devotee what the conclusion of chapter 29 is. And any questions that are relevant? You repeat, I'll repeat it.
Krishna appears to be growing up till youth. So I'm not able to understand how he's said to be non-changing, Advaitam, and still he's transforming. So what? How to understand
the general
that?
Philosophy is that spirit or atma is dynamic. It's alive. It's not dead matter. It can grow. It can transform. One jiva, we read one letter from Prabhupada, one jiva, not even Bhagavan, not even, you know, the Supreme Soul. One jiva can take many incarnations to serve Krishna. Arjuna in this universe is incarnating in another form of Arjuna, in another verse, in another universe, in another universe, in millions of universes simultaneously. The idea is that spirit is dynamic. It is alive. It is not like the material concept of the body like we have. One time here, on the morning walk in Vrindavan, it was Balaram Jayanti, and Prabhupada was here. And we thought, oh, let's go to class today. We're going to get some real nectar. And Prabhupada simply spoke on the Atma, you are not the body. Realize this. And then on the morning walk the next day, I had the gall to ask him a material question. Prabhupada, Revati is having Balaram in Vrindavan, but the husband is in jail in Mathura. How has that happened? Was there not a scandal? How is she pregnant? Srila Prabhupada answered it like this. He said, oh, just because in jail doesn't mean there wasn't a visit. So beautiful an answer. But then he became very serious. And he said, don't try to understand the appearance of God with your material concept. You know, so we can't understand how Krishna's spiritual body may grow up to the age of 16, or how an individual jiva may have many incarnations, or how one Tulsi Devi can appear in this plant and this plant and billions of Tulsis all over the universe. This is beyond the understanding of the material mind to understand. And if we try to, like I was trying to understand that material concept of God's appearance in Vrindavan, Prabhupada chastised me. He became very serious. Don't try to understand it from your platform. I was so embarrassed. I mean, theoretically, it's a good question, right? Logically. But you can't understand this para-prakriti with the material mind or with the material senses. When you see it, then you'll bow down and say, oh my God, I have offended you. You are so great. I have taken you as my friend. Please forgive my offenses. Even Arjuna, the greatest, the Nara, incarnation of Nara, even he had to say, oh, when I see you, now I understand. I forgive my previous concepts. So I think that's a good answer to the question, I hope. Or you could say, I'm Nalinikant, I can't explain the real answer to that question. I haven't seen. Yeah. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, where there was a a non-devotee in Nabadweep, and somehow Lord Chaitanya gave him some mercy. I think it was Muslim also, not even vegetarian. And Lord Chaitanya gave him some mercy, and he starts dancing in ecstasy. I have seen, I have seen, I have seen, it, crying, and all the eight satrikas. You know, so when you see Krishna, when you experience Krishna, then you understand all these. How is it? How is spirit? How does spirit work? It's beyond the concept of the material mind or body to understand. You know, by Prabhupada's grace, we can directly have darshan of spirit. Here is Gaur Nithai. They are personally there. They have all their potencies. They can bless us. If you read Madhya Lila, you see how Lord Chaitanya gave his blessings unlimitedly, transforming millions of people into ecstatic love of God. He's right there. Why we are not feeling that? It can happen. Only when you give up the linga, the bodily concept of life, and see him as he really is, Lord Nityananda, right there. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, we are associating with him in practice. He's seeing everything. So even though we're not seeing him fully, he is the personality of Godhead complete. He sees all your actions, all your thoughts, all your feelings in your heart. So be careful in front of Krishna. Maybe you don't have to be careful, but I have to be careful in front of Krishna. The mode of passion is described as so vicious. Do you remember that shloka from Bhagavatam where Lord Krishna is talking to Brahma? And he says, by being situated thus, the vicious mode of passion will never attack you. That line sticks in my mind because I'm a very passionate sadhaka. If I'm a sadhaka at all, I think the rajas is strong and I feel, oh, they're so vicious. You know, but at least in the dham, in your sadhana, in front of God, be very careful that you're not bringing that mode, those modes of nature into the divine realm. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Thanks to your temple president for allowing me to speak here and visit you. And hopefully you'll be back next time. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, I've been counting. This is my 60th visit to Vrindavan or India, even though I was born in that Patal Loka over there, and even though we lived there. They keep, Radharani keeps giving us the mercy to come back again and again. So I'm grateful to all of you, to your authorities here, to our real authority, Srila Prabhupada, whose authority is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna.